let's look at two things, successful thinking and unsuccessful thinking. As I'm going through each of these segments, go through five signs of successful thinking and five corresponding signs of unsuccessful thinking, think of where you are. Now, if you're on the unsuccessful side, it's okay. It's really good to identify that and see what you can do to move to this side, successful thinking. So people who think successfully, they establish written goals and objectives. They establish written goals and objectives. Unsuccessful people, however, dream of goals, dream of things. Say they're too busy to write down goals, they're too busy. They say, someday I'll write down goals. Someday I'll do this. They like to dream of a place where they're accomplishing more than they actually are. I call that someday I'll or someday island. In fact, Harvard Business School in 1950 conducted a study. They interviewed their graduating seniors, and they asked of all the ones who were graduating, how many of them had written goals with specific description and timelines. Of 100% of the students who took the survey, only 2% had written goals. They did a follow-up study 30 years later. Now, I talked about success goes beyond financial, but in this type of study, it's hard to measure all the areas of success. So they just keyed on one, which was financial. However, in the passage of 30 years, they found that the 2% who had goals that were both written down, they had a description, and they had a deadline, they accumulated more wealth than the other 98% combined. So think about that. 2% outperformed 98%. So then the first thing they thought is, what is it? They inherited money, they knew somebody, they had connections. What is it that caused them the success? And they found no inheritors. They found no connections. They found that there were people who were disciplined every day to write down goals and to read them and to stay on track. So are you on the successful side, meaning you have written down goals? Are you on the unsuccessful side, meaning you think about it, you dream about it, you wish things were different? Move to this side. Point number two, you need to create a plan to accomplish goals with specific timelines. What does that mean? Well, do you want to have a goal that's long-term, meaning greater than a year? You also want something that's midterm, meaning 6 months, and something short-term that could be tomorrow. So short-term, midterm, and long-term. Now, how do you start? Do you start with a short-term goal and then go long-term? No, you don't. You start with where you want to go. I'll give you an example. If I want to go on vacation and I want to drive from South Carolina to Florida, I'm not going to spend my time thinking, I leave here and go to this street, and then I make a turn right or left. Well, I don't know where I'm going to go because I've just done a short-term plan. But if I had a plan of where I wanted to end up, then I could make plans in reverse from short-term, mid-term, and long-term. So the successful side is you have a timeline. The unsuccessful side is you just think about it. You mull it over. You might even say, well, I'm going to make an A in this class. But you haven't developed a plan to do that. You're thinking about making an A. That's a good start. But you don't have a plan of how you're going to make an A. That's the difference. The third characteristic is focus on the highest priority task all the time. The unsuccessful side focuses on the demands of life rather than what's important. What's the difference? Demands of life would be, hey, I just got a text. What's going on? Let me text them back. Let me see what they're doing. Let me go onto Facebook. Let me see what they're up to. Hey, I've heard of, let me go to LinkedIn. Why don't we check my email account? I wonder what my friends are doing. These are all things that the unsuccessful people like to do, and they confuse themselves and think they're busy. However, successful people focus on the most important task at the time. So what's most important? That's what you need to focus on. In World War II, America was fighting battles on many fronts. They had their chief architect of battle was a person who was affectionately called Lord Heart of the Matter. Lord Heart of the Matter was a man who had a disease, and he was very sick, and he could only work with other people 30 minutes a day. So what he did in bed is he laid in bed and he planned. and he strategized, and he thought about how they would fight the Pacific Basin, how they would fight in Europe, what they would do. And then for 30 minutes, he would get dressed and come and meet all the generals and the people affiliated with the battle and would lay out the battle plans. They called him Lord Hardthematter. He was able to, in 30 minutes, effect massive change because he did the most important thing all the time. The fourth area is don't be afraid of failure. See the benefit from making mistakes and make change. Unsuccessful people don't take risk. They don't try new things. They don't push themselves because what happens if they don't make it? That's why they don't do it. Successful people are willing to stumble and make mistakes. So what do you do? What do you do if you set a goal and you don't make it on time? What do you do if you set a goal that's a six-month goal and 6 months comes by and you haven't hit your goal? You make it a seven-month goal, an eight-month goal, a nine-month goal. It's okay to change a deadline, but you must have goals with time. The fifth area is that successful people do is they make new plans to rebound from failures. They're saying, here's how I failed. Here's how this is not only a negative, but can now even be a positive, and here's what I've learned. While unsuccessful people dream of a world that's ideal, that they don't fail, and worse yet, they spend a lot of time trying to think of why did I fail and who can I assess the blame. So successful people don't blame others for failures. They own it themselves. They stand up and they take it. Even if they're only partially at blame, they're not looking to assess blame to other people. For example, let's say you wanted to get a higher grade in a class and you ended up getting. You could blame all kinds of things. You could blame who knows what. You moved or you had all these challenges or you were working. Those are excuses. Successful people make it happen. You don't make excuses. If you come up short, you own it yourself. That's what successful people do. So, how do you make changes? You make them a little at a time. If I were to tell you that I'm going to lose 20 pounds this week, you wouldn't think I would be able to do that. And you'd be right in saying that. But let's look at making small changes. How do you make massive change? You make small change first. I call this the 1/2 of 1% rule. 1/2 of 1%. Can you do 1/2 of 1% better tomorrow than you did today? And then tomorrow, can you do 1/2 of a percent better than you did the previous day? Well, imagine we did that for a week, just 0.5% a day. 0.5% times 7 is 3.5%. Then we do it for a whole month. We're at 14%. Well, what if we did it for 5 months? Now we're at 70%. But when you look at the rule of compounding, you may or may not be familiar with the rule of 72. Take any number, divide it into 72, and that's how long it takes money to double. So if you earn 10% interest, divide 10 into 72. At 10%, it takes 7.2 years to double an investment. I always think of investments, that's how my mind works. So 10%. Now, however, let's look at the rule of 72. It applies to this. For 5 months, if I do 0.5% better a day, I'm doing twice as productive as I was 5 months ago. Now let's look at 10 months. Now I've doubled the double. Now 15 months. Now I've doubled the double the double. I'm 8 times more productive now than I was 15 months ago just by doing 0.5% a day. So the biggest problem I see people make when they're trying to make change in their life and set goals is you overestimate what you're capable of doing near term. This is across the board. However, you dramatically, I mean dramatically, underestimate the change that can take place over time. So think about 0.5% a day. Whenever you want to take on a new task or something new, I always have 5 questions I ask myself. And you may want to have a different 5 questions, but I'll give you mine. My 5 questions are, does this activity get me closer to my major goal? Well, in order to even answer that, you have to have written down goals and objectives. So then go back to that, and as you read it, am I going to do this? Does this get me closer? Number two, does this activity leave me energized or drained? Number three, Does this activity make a significant difference in my life or the life of those around me? Number four, would I want my children to do the same activity? And number five, if I only had a year to live, would I do this activity? See, if you think of these five things, it will help keep you on the successful side. You won't get involved in things that are unnecessary or that don't make progress. If I were to ask a room full of 100 people, how many of you want to be significant people? How many of you want to make a difference? How many of you want to make change? How many of you want to be known as people of high character, high moral fiber, of godly people? How many would raise their hand? Would anyone raise their hand and say, I don't want to be that person? I want to be known for not being that person. No one's going to say that. However, we say that every day that we don't follow these steps. Every day you don't have a plan is a day closer to mediocrity. As a young person, one of the greatest things you can do is think about vision and mission for your life. Remember, vision is where you want to go. Mission is how you're going to get there. And the vision should be based entirely on God's Word. And then the mission is the same thing, based on God's Word. And make sure you read a proverb a day. That'll give you great wisdom as you're planning and evaluating and setting goals. And I'll cover more of this in the next segment.